Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Sports Grid's Early Line right here on a Friday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We've crowned a champion in the NFC West. We've got a lot to preview heading into the weekend. Not only a lot of NFL action, we've got bowl games that are going to start today, as well as the final for the World Cup. Donnie, how you feeling?
Feeling good today, just like everybody else. A profitable night last night. Everything worked out, Kevin, in our favorite. Love it. Fantastic last night.
Why do you do that? Why would you sarcastically reference me losing a Geno Smith number by 3 yards? I can't even remotely figure that out. Why can't you just celebrate your own good night?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just feeling a little bit perky this morning. Like, look at me moving around right now. Hey,
and just so everyone knows, when Donnie's in a good mood, that means he's in a mood to be a total buffoon. So there we go. Should be a fun 2 hours. I have to rearrange this halt of momentum and have him break down Steelers-Panthers in our next segment. Let's start it off, though, with Thursday night football as the Seattle Seahawks hosted the San Francisco 49ers. And the Niners jumped out to an early lead and never really looked back. George Kittle caught the opening touchdown pass from Brock Purdy and then caught a huge touchdown pass to start the second half 1 minute in. This game was 21-3. Seattle put together a nice drive, finally, deep into this game, but could not get a stop to give themselves an opportunity to try a two-minute drill and tie this game. The Niners move to 10-4 and clinch the NFC West.
Yeah, they're the best team out West. There's no real question about that. Even coming into last night, what was the question we had, Kevin? Hey, take a look at this. Brock Purdy, quick turnaround start time, going on the road, first road start. He handled it well. 17-26, 2 touchdowns, but the key is no interceptions. And you saw yesterday, maybe the pivotal moment in the game, Travis Homer took a swing pass from Geno Smith, fumbled the football. Next thing you know, first and goal here with about a minute to go before the half. Punched that touchdown in. It's 14-3 at the half. And that game, for all intents and purposes, was over. And then the exclamation point. Early third quarter, where you had another George Kittle touchdown. I got to tell you, if George Kittle's going to come out from the shadows here and start to perform like he's been doing the past few years, this game's going to be really tough. But having said that, I never thought the Niners were in doubt all night long. They always seem like the better team, and there they are, 10-4 now in the season and division champs.
First division champ so far. And this game for me with the San Francisco 49ers was the most important game. Can you hear that in the background? I mean,
let's back it up.
I can't even begin to explain what's going on. Not out of here. Not fast enough with the way this is getting off to a start here. Let me tell you, honestly, I think you probably should take it and tell people more what you think about Niners Seahawks.
Oh, Niners Seahawks, great game last night. And by the way, entering into that one, there was a lot of question marks on which way we're actually going to look, because Kevin and I always do the previews here on the day of the game, both obviously on the early line and also money line in the afternoon. It was interesting to me because we were worried about who the starting quarterback was actually going to be in this game. Not per se that we didn't think it was going to be Purdy, but he was cleared to start. We just weren't sure what we were getting out of Brock Purdy. You have an oblique injury, a rib injury, going on the road for your first start, and it looks like every day, is this going to be a thing for the 49ers? You just pencil in Brock Purdy for 2 touchdown passes every single game, not making any mistakes. Well, quite frankly, that could be it. A passer rating of 117 last night. And also moving forward, this is moving now the San Francisco 49ers up into the standings. Not to say they're going to be able to catch the Philadelphia Eagles and get that number one overall seed, but maybe they can overtake the Dallas Cowboys here when it's all said and done. Also, radio, thank you for coming in here today, listening to us, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. We welcome all the audiences in, and we are ready to get after a Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network. But back to the 49ers. This is one of those teams where everybody's looking forward to. And also, could they run the table all the way out here? Division champs now at 10-4. This is the one team, if you're looking for three teams, and it seems like this is the same way in each conference, guys. And what is that? AFC, NFC. Top three teams now, it's clear in the NFC. San Francisco 49ers, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the advantage here for the San Francisco 49ers over the Dallas Cowboys is probably going to be what? They're a division winner. They're going to get a home game. Even if, for somehow, the Dallas Cowboys end up with a better record than the San Francisco 49ers, that's not how tiebreakers work. If you win your division, you're getting that home game. So maybe you see the top two teams here eventually will be the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles. That game is probably going to take place in Philadelphia. But what do we like out of this game? I was actually surprised that Christian McCaffrey had 26 carries on a Thursday night. 108 yards and one touchdown. That wasn't a surprise. Everybody seems to run the football fairly easily against that Seattle defense, but also six catches for 30 yards, primarily getting all of those in the first half. Now, I had a little play here on Jordan Mason going over 29.5 rushing yards. He had like one carry up to the last drive for 1 yard, but busts off a late 50-plus yard run here to finish with four carries for 64 yards. But the takeaway last night is, the San Francisco 49ers are pretty good, but also now, for the first time in a few weeks, the Seattle Seahawks, what is actually going to happen here in the playoff race for them? Because technically they are on now the outside looking in, regardless, I believe, what happens this weekend between the Giants and the Washington Commanders. It's going to be hard for Seattle to get in, but I expected them to lose last night. There are some wins that are on those schedule late over those previous 4 weeks. Now, granted, one of those games was last night. Three to go. Still have a game with the Rams, probably dead and out of it at this point. A big game against the New York Jets. Can they rise to the occasion? Because for me, if you would have told me right now that the Seahawks would be 7-7 in mid-December, I wouldn't have believed you at the start of the season. This was a 5-win team. My goodness, the San Francisco 49ers, are they here to stay? They could be. Stay tuned. Let's talk about that NFC wildcard race. Coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot start on a Friday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, Niners Seahawks last night. I just wanted to make this one point here before we move forward to some games that are going to be taking place on Sunday. If you watch the George Kittle touchdowns, okay, this is not Brock Purdy making these insane throws where you go, man, I mean, is this guy one of the best quarterbacks in football? But the San Francisco 49ers have never needed that. I'm sure it'd be great. It's why we've talked about them in the past with all the assets they gave up for Trey Lance. What if they used that for a proven superstar quarterback? Looking at you, Aaron Rodgers. But they just need a guy that can capitalize on the opportunities that Kyle Shanahan is going to create. And he's going to have some of the best players at their positions. Kittle as a tight end. Debo's a wide receiver. McCaffrey as a running back. He's going to put them in good places to win matchups. And Purdy just has to make the best of it. And Brock Purdy's now done that three straight times. It's impressive. And again, for the Niners, it's all they need. Could this all come crashing down? 100%. Because it always came crashing down on Garoppolo. Because there got to a point where they would have to ask Garoppolo, hey, can you go win us a football game? And the answer to that was always no, right? Can they get Brock Purdy to win them a football game? I still doubt that. But mostly they're hoping to not be put in that position with a defense that's arguably the best in football and with the skill position players to elevate any quarterback. And Brock Purdy has been rolling. An impressive run here for the San Francisco 49ers. First team to lock up a division. We go, though, to Sunday Night Football, where you have two teams from the same division in action, which would be the New York Giants and the Washington Commanders. This is one of the most important games that have been played so far this season. Importance of games increasing, of course, as we go on. But you could argue this is eliminator here style when it comes to the NFC wildcard race. Both teams have a legitimate chance to make it. So maybe the better way to put it would say it feels like a win and in. If you win this football game, especially with Seattle's loss now to the San Francisco 49ers, I think you'll check in at maybe minus 200 or better to secure a spot in the NFC playoff picture here. So talk to me. Commanders, Giants, this line over a field goal all throughout and increasing, now sitting at 4.5, total checking in at 40.5.
Yeah, you know what's also interesting about this game, Kevin? Both of these teams coming in 7-5-1, and there is a, like, you know, let's just say the Seahawks 7-7, Lions 6-7, even the Green Bay Packers, Panthers, and Falcons all at 5-8. So you say there's like those that little of a jumble where, oh no, if you lose, you're out of it. Not the case here, Kevin. 6-7. Let's just say the Washington Commanders win. Sure, they're going to stay in the playoff picture. If the season ended after Sunday night, they would be in. But how about the New York Giants if they lose this game, or vice versa? Both of these teams still slotted, Kevin. 6-7, no matter what happens behind them now with that Seattle Seahawks loss. So it won't be all doom and gloom, but it does get a little bit tougher. But your original point is correct. The winner of this game is going to have a massive advantage because, let's just say again, playing it from a Commander's perspective, they pick up this win. Both of these teams tied each other. You pick up that win, it's almost like picking up two wins because you get the tiebreaker. So let's just say if you are the Commanders, you go to 8-5-1. The Giants go to 7-6-1. Things don't go so well for the Commanders down the stretch. They end up in a tie. Well, you know what? The Commanders are going. Or as we said, if the Giants beat the Commanders, same record at the end of the season, they're going here. But just to focus on this game on Sunday, I haven't wavered the entire week here on this one. I do think the Commanders win this game. Will they win it by margin? If you're going to say it's 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, whatever it might be at game time here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, I think that's going to be the case because I'm not going to say like, oh, somebody's going to keep it close here, which I mean, can happen. They actually tied just a game ago here for the Commanders. Now, obviously, the Giants had to play a game, which they played the Philadelphia Eagles and got rocked in that one. Saquon Barkley saying, no worse for the wear. I feel a lot better than I did last week, which might help them. But also, you're at home. You are rested. You are the more talented football team. You should win this game. For my money, Kevin, it's the Commanders over the Giants.
Yeah, but I think that it's too many points sitting here at 4.5. As you mentioned, absolutely easy to see a world where the number comes into play here as they tied last game. And let's not forget, it was the Giants that had the walk-off field goal opportunity, and it was the Giants that led by a touchdown for a lot of the second half of this football game here. The Giants looked like the better team the last time they played. And I do think you're going to get the healthiest version of Saquon Barkley that we've seen in a very long time, as he hardly played any of that game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Game got out of hand, you're throwing the football. Also, why are you bothering? Again, the game got ugly against the Birds. So I think the Commanders are fine to be favored in this game, but favored by far too many points based on what I've seen from these teams, not just the last time they met, but throughout this season. I am not some big believer in Taylor Heinicke here. Again, these things start to rotate. Taylor Heinicke catching a gang of points, okay. We're now laying well over a field goal in division with Taylor Heinicke. Not for me. Not how I'm going to want to go out here and play this game. Daniel Jones has been virtually unbeatable when a road dog catching points. I mean, that's just what we've seen throughout his career. Been very good as an underdog in this division, and I expect the Giants to cover these 4.5 points. I do still believe they're live in this game here on a Sunday night. I don't view Washington as some vaunted place to try and go out and secure a win. The other team involved in this race is the Detroit Lions. Again, if you're the Detroit Lions, you go, all right, we got the Seattle loss. One of the Giants or Commanders better lose this week and not tie again, and we can make up another game here in this race and try and put us in a good spot. But the line is working against them, climbing now back towards the Jets -1.5. Total here in the mid-40s, 44.5, as Jared Goff and the hot Detroit Lions make their way to the Meadowlands to play what we believe is going to be Mike White.
Yes, and this is going to be a good one here. And maybe, as we like to say, like, yeah, you have those preseason preferences. Who's going to care about the Detroit Lions and the New York Jets in mid-December? Who knows what's going to happen in that game, but both probably bad. How about both of these teams trending in the right direction? But as you said it here, it's going to be a tough go for Detroit because even how hot they're playing, and some teams are going to have, you know, with even with the extended wild card to the seventh team now, you're going to have those teams around 500 to say, well, why can't they get in? they're probably going to have to run the table in order to get in. Because as we were talking about the games yesterday, I actually have them, Kevin, going 3-1 down the stretch. But as I look at my notes here again, I do have them losing to the Jets, which means they would have to run off wins against the Panthers, trying to win the division. The Bears, who knows? As long as you get a healthy, you know, Justin Fields there, that might be a little bit of a terror. And then the Green Bay Packers, but we don't really know where the Green Bay Packers either will be in the final week of the season if Aaron Rodgers is even going to play. I like their chances heading into this game. I really do. Now, it is going to be cold. This is a dome team. We've seen them go on the road. Talking about them being the Lions. Hey, how did they fare when they played in New England? They didn't even score a point in that game. So there are some instances where you take it on the road and don't look so good at that point here. But I got to tell you, if I'm betting this game right now, it's going to come down. It's Jared Goff versus Mike White. Are we trusting Mike White here? Because I know the Jets locker room loves him. The front office loves him. The GM and the head coach. But let's be real. You got to be throwing touchdown passes. Mike White has to throw for over 300 yards in this game for the Jets to win. If you think he can do that with multiple touchdowns, they'll probably win this game. Now, also, how about this one, Kevin? FanDuel Sportsbook, 50.5 is a total. That's dropped now to 44.5. I like Mike White. I think he does throw for close to, if not more than 300 yards. I think Jared Goff does well also. Give me the over in this game as opposed to the side. It's razor thin for me, and it really should be. It should be the Jets in a runaway, but the Lions are playing good football.
I mean, yeah, you have to like the over if you're telling me that Mike White's going to be thrown for 300 yards here in this
game. He has to.
I think
he has to.
He doesn't have to do that to beat the Detroit Lions, unless you think the Lions are going to go out there and go.
Bam Knight?
Huh?
Bam Knight, I mean, guy this weekend. I
mean, it's just in general, unless you believe that the Detroit Lions are going to go out there and put up another 30 ball, he's not going to have to do that. It could be a lower scoring, ugly game, which I think could very well be in the cards here. The Jets have been playing great on the defensive side of the ball here and taking Detroit out of that dome for the first time in a long time. Played three straight games in Detroit. We know how high scoring the Detroit games have been this year. Well over 50 points per game when games are in Detroit this season. Closer to 60, in fact. Going outside now here and having to play the Jets after three straight at home, I think is going to be difficult. The thing I do worry about with backing the Jets, though I think they are the side here, and I'll take the under as well, go a little opposite of you, is Mike White's health. Because if Zach Wilson checks into this game, then things all of a sudden get real ugly. But he has been activated to the number two, which is probably better than Joe Flacco, who's not even paying attention to the game, and you having to call on him in the middle like they had to last week. Go to Saturday night's action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, taking a look at the action that will be had for Saturday in the National Football League. We're going to start with the biggest game, which will be Saturday night between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. This number starting to work back in Miami's direction here. Down from 7.5, sitting now at a flat 7 here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 44.5 is your total. It's bounced around with the weather news, Donnie, and I know that's mainly what's had your attention throughout the week in this game.
This is a tough one here, Kevin, and you know me. I love weather. I love getting the views from last Sunday to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through the week to try to play it out. Now, here's what's taking place. If you're looking at the total, 47.5, that we opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we've saw it as low as 43, but it's on the rebound coming back higher. But I ask myself here, this isn't a normal storm where you're saying, okay, let's wait, let's just say 24 hours out to see what's going to happen. The reason I'm talking about this is lake effect snow is a little bit different. It can creep up in a matter of moments. It could dump a two feet of snow on one side of Buffalo, Kevin, and 3 inches on the other side of Buffalo. So when I'm looking at this game, trying to handicap it myself, we can only go on what we know. Let's just say it's not very stormy on Saturday night, which means winds around 10 miles an hour. It's going to be cold regardless, don't get me wrong. But let's just say during the game, flurries, not as opposed to maybe heavy snow coming down. I look at that number that now sits at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 44.5, and I think it gets obliterated. I do. Now, you can go back and say, well, Donnie, the Miami Dolphins, maybe they're found out right now. Did you see their last two games? They're not really doing too much on offense. I understand it. But there's too much talent there, and there's too much accolades for the coach who comes in as a, you know, offensive guru not to be able to work his way out of a two-game rut. And also keep in mind, if you don't think Tua has the strongest arm, we're not supposed to be getting high winds here on Saturday regardless, not 25, 35 mile an hour winds that we've seen in Buffalo before where you can't even kick extra points because they sway the field goals, the field goal post, you know, either way, 5 or 6 feet, it seems like. But let's just go with this game, Kevin, because there's two ways you can approach it. Clear night, okay, some flurries. I think the Buffalo Bills will be able to handle their business and cover that 7. If we get snow accumulation, 2 and 3 inches, where there's a nice film across the field and it's slippery, you always want to take the dog in that environment. But having said that, the Miami Dolphins really, Kevin, aren't built for that environment technically because you're looking at players to say, okay, let's get big and run the football. It's not really what Miami does. They're built on speed and space, which can work in two directions. As we've always said throughout time, I've been a wide receiver. I know where my route's going. The defender doesn't. So I can be more cautious in and out of my breaks. Defender falls down. That's a 75-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill where the air time was only about 3 or 4 yards. That can happen. But if I'm looking at it from a total perspective, it's one I can't get involved in just yet. Even the side of the game, Kevin, I can't get involved with because if I turn on my TV and there's 7 inches of snow on the ground, I know if I took the over, boy, I jumped the gun wrong. But if I turn on my TV in the first quarter at the FanDuel Sportsbook and I can jump in on a live wager because there's no snow at all, I'd be more than happy to take a number in the range of 45 or 46 where I think this game's going over.
I think to me the biggest factor of this game is this idea that the Miami Dolphins offense has been figured out. 2 weeks in a row, they've been incredibly underwhelming. 17 points against San Francisco, you might think, oh, that's not all that bad. 75-yard touchdown on the opening play of the game, stalled for the rest of the way. And that 17 there again feels like it was almost a bit kind to them. The 17 against the Chargers was very kind, as they had a scoop and score from Tyreek Hill. That was one of the more ridiculous plays of the season. Speaking of 17, that's what Tua, 3 of 17 from Tua to open that football game. That's, to me, again, what I wonder about heading in. The other issue is Josh Allen has not been Josh Allen now for well over a month. That's when you go through his numbers, whether you think it's the injury, though it started before the injury against the Jets, he has just not been the same guy. Josh Allen last week threw for 142 yards, and nobody really talked about it. Nobody really said, or 147. What's going on here? Yeah, he added a little bit extra on the ground. Josh Allen was booked in a way that said he was going to win the MVP award without any doubt about it to begin this season. Josh Allen, after beating the Kansas City Chiefs, was going to creep towards that minus price range. And it's been a long time since we've seen that player. And that's ultimately why I would actually take the 7 here with the Miami Dolphins. Because I've not watched the Josh Allen-led Buffalo Bills over the last month here and thought they're going to really separate from a team. I've just not seen it. Not here from the Miami Dolphins in this spot. They didn't cover against the New York Jets. And it's now been 3 straight home games they haven't covered, which is the longest streak of Josh Allen's career of not covering in Buffalo. And maybe it stops here, but they haven't put enough confidence in me to suggest that they will. I think Mike McDaniel will be able to find out a couple of things. Going into Cleveland, we've seen the Baltimore Ravens listed as an underdog here with still some quarterback question marks. Is it going to be Anthony Brown? Is it going to be Tyler Huntley? Very slight, sneaky. Is it going to be Lamar Jackson? All of it's super relevant, of course, to trying to get a handle on this game. Total checks here, 38.5. Again, DRS, it's very hard to get a true idea of what to expect here when we don't know who the Baltimore quarterback's going to be.
It looks like it's going to be Huntley at this point here. Lamar's not going to play in this game, but also begs the question is, are you trying to throw the other team off, Kevin? Because we see that so many times, even though it's very high school Harry, as I like to say. Oh, you know what? This guy's been practicing all week with no intention of playing Saturday, which means we're switching it up and going to play a kid that's not used to starting in the NFL. That could be devastating, but I'm going to go with the latter. I'm going to believe what's coming out of the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to believe what Harbaugh is saying here. If your quarterback is practicing all week and he's through concussion protocol and he's eligible to start, he's probably going to start. So having looked at that here, Kevin, 42.5 is the total in this football game, now down to 38.5, and I completely agree with and still think there is value at that 38.5 number to try to go under. I just don't see it here. If we're Cleveland, and let's just say their offense, Kevin, finally starts to click. What's the upside, though? The Ravens have a very, very good defense, and also from a running standpoint here for the Baltimore Ravens. Are we going to be going toe-to-toe because the Ravens now with a backup quarterback want to throw the football 39 times in a game? No, they don't. They just got Dobbins back. And even though he's running, it looks like on one leg, he's still obviously effective there. And you have a pretty good backfield that's going to be able to rip off chunks, and also a quarterback that's still built in that same Lamar Jackson sense where if you need to get the yards outside of the pocket, he can certainly do that. I think the Baltimore Ravens, if they do get Huntley as their starter, which I'm anticipating, I think they actually win this game outright. I really do. In the pick six that we have coming up a little bit later in the show, I am going to go a certain way in this game because no matter what happens here, I think Baltimore is going to be in it in the fourth quarter within at least a score and maybe even having the lead at this point. I just don't trust Cleveland just yet. That's a very good defense. Should be able to keep Deshaun Watson and that offense somewhat under wraps, but also from a standpoint for the Baltimore Ravens, we're not throwing it all over the lot here. This clock is going to be running. It's going to be a hard-fought game that all Baltimore is looking to do, similar to last week, Kevin, just escape with a victory.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think they were playing a much better defense last week in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, and by the way, to your point, there are Tyler Huntley props available, at least passing yardage. Mm-hmm. So you would expect that means that they're confident he is going to be the quarterback for this game. But again, the Cleveland defense is for most of the season has been really bad, about a bottom five unit in football. So that's my, I agree. They're going to look to run the ball. That's been exactly how you attack the Cleveland Browns, again, all season long. We're now dealing with a very, very low number here, which is where some of that hesitation comes in for me. Will Watson and the Browns offense be able to turn around? It's been a pitiful start from them. Under 60% completion percentage, he's thrown a pick in each of these two games. It's not been effective. The offense is responsible for one touchdown here. You're just not really watching, I think, what the Browns were hoping to see, though there is an expectation it'll get better. But you could also argue this is going to be the best defense that Watson has played since his return. I mean, it's either that or Cincinnati's. It depends how you view the two defenses. So I understand the hesitation there on the under. I think it's a spot where, again, taking 2.5 points with the Baltimore Ravens does make sense. The opening game on Saturday is going to be Minnesota and Indianapolis. This was 4.5 last night, 3.5 this morning. People grabbing themselves some Jeff Saturday-led Colts here. Loving Matt Ryan on a short week. Total 47.5. So enjoy this while you can before we get to, I guess, Browns-Ravens, about 10 points lower. The expectations in that game here. Are you looking to back Kirk Cousins in, I think, a primetime spot? Does this count?
It doesn't. It's 1 o'clock start, so I don't know if just because it's a Saturday slate, you would go to prime time at this point here. But if you're looking at this game opening up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, -5.5 for the Minnesota Vikings, it is down to 3.5. The rested and ready Colts here, as if that's going to matter. But having said that, the one MO for the Minnesota Vikings is if they don't win, obviously they lose the football game. But if they do win, it seems like every game is playing tight here. So there's the reasoning for that 2-point drop, and I can certainly see it. If you're from a Colts perspective here, what are you going to do? Hey, Matt Ryan, hopefully you don't get sacked 19 times and run backwards. But if you can be turnover free in this game, you're going to be in it to win it. The Colts have a pretty good defense on their side. Not saying Minnesota should be an underdog in this game because they shouldn't. They have something to play for. The Colts technically don't at this point. But having said that, Kevin, I agree with this line movement down to about 3.5. I look at this game in the fourth quarter being in doubt one way or another. And if you can get a very good day out of Matt Ryan, which what does that mean? Don't get sacked more than 3 times. Don't turn the football over ridiculously and maybe throw for about 225 to give Jonathan Taylor some room out here and also with some play action passes. I think the Colts hang around. I'm taking the Colts to cover this line.
So just to be clear, but do you think Minnesota wins the game?
I'm really up in the air at this point. I am because the same one thing I said, Minnesota doesn't win comfortably. So I think the Colts probably have a legitimate chance to win. Yeah.
All right. No, just wondering because with the Commanders game, you're like, I mean, come on, who's going to take 4.5 points and think that could matter if I think the Commanders are going to win? And then we get to this one and you take the 3.5 points with the Colts. Yeah. But you have no idea if the Colts could actually win this football game here. I think the Vikings early in this game is a way to play it. The Colts are 2-11 against the first half spread open up this season. As long as it's under the field goal, I think that's the way you play Vikings-Colts here on Saturday. We're going to some of the big favorites this week next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, taking a look at the biggest favorites that Week 15 is going to offer up. We begin with the Philadelphia Eagles. We're a 9-point favorite in Chicago. The Bears at home off of a bye. The total here is 48.5. Though, I know this is not relevant to this year's team because every year is different. I did find it a bit odd going through this game. The Bears over the last two decades have been pitiful off of a bye for whatever reason. 5-17-1 against the spread, 2-10 at home against the spread off of a bye over the last 20 years for the Chicago Bears. Well, I don't know why no Bears team has the ability to capitalize on a rest advantage, but it's been going on for 20 years now. A bit odd. Do you think it'll factor in this week, though, as the Eagles head to Chicago?
I mean, I don't know if it'll factor in overall as much as it's not really the coach. We could say, like, oh, Matt Nagy must have been there 20 straight years. No wonder that they're terrible after a bye. He's a terrible coach. But, I mean, Eberflus coming in hopefully changes that up. But when you're coming off a bye, isn't it better like you come off the bye and say, hey, we got the Texans off a bye. Of course we're going to play good. Well, you get the Philadelphia Eagles, the best team in football, off a bye. So it's going to be measured right away there, Kevin, on that. I don't know if it's going to make a difference or not. I do think the Eagles will end up winning this football game. But if we get into it right away, I'm not rushing to the window, to be honest, to take the 9. And it's not necessarily for me where you say, like, it's a college football game. Hey, just get through Coastal Carolina this week because you got Alabama on deck and don't get anybody injured. But also, you can't push this away. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, which we'll talk about a little bit later, they know what's in store. A Christmas Eve game where they're going to be the centerpiece with all eyeballs on them. And the trash talk is already flying. The Eagles are trying to do the right thing right now. You saw Jordan Mailata get asked by the media, hey, look, man. It's not the Chicago Micah Parsons. It's the Chicago Bears we're playing. We'll worry about the Dallas Cowboys later at this point. We have the Bears. But every time you're asking, it's something coming up about the Cowboys and the showdown that's going to be on December 24th. And rightfully so. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to this game and win. And also, let's get this notion out of the way too, right? You take a look and say, oh, man, Kevin, freezing cold in Chicago. 22, 23 degrees, maybe 15-mile-an-hour winds. Most people say, like, oh, if you have a really good offense, that brings the other team into the equation, the underdog. And I ask this question again. How many teams are built for cold weather better than what the Philadelphia Eagles would be? I don't know. A.J. Brown, throw him the football, he out-muscles everybody. Dallas Goedert's coming back, one of the better tight ends in football. You have the best offensive line in the league and a running back slash quarterback that's playing absolutely sensational and making every right decision, where if the pocket collapses, he's got 10 yards. Read option. Everybody feeds off of it right now. So I'm not worried about the conditions at all. I'm just looking at that 9 going. I'm just not overly excited and say, okay, the Eagles are going to do exactly what they just did to the Giants with the Dallas Cowboys on deck.
Yeah, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles not be the same exact team throughout this season on the road against the spread. But then last week, they hit another level and dominated. And the thing is, do you look at it now where this is just going to be a train that steamrolls through all the way into the playoffs, or could they potentially have a come down spot? Again, you look at their last three games, they scored 40, 35, and 48, and now are playing maybe the worst defense in the entire league. It's why you see this total check in at 48.5. The idea is the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be in the 30s in this football game with relative ease here. It's just always of, will it be that simple? It's a spot where at home, off of a bye, Bears plus the 9, it feels like the right move here in this game. Though it feels like you could be watching this game through your fingers, not really wanting to actually see how this is all going to play out. I don't think the Chicago Bears ultimately get across the finish line in terms of a pure upset here. Justin Fields in his career is 1-9 straight up against teams that are above 500, Donnie.
Yes, and I want to bring up this point as well, Kevin, because obviously we're all handicappers here. People watch the network all the time. They want the insights on what we think about when we're trying to go over, like, how do we actually handicap this game? Let me ask you this question, because we're going to do the same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. This is professional football, and as I just said, the Eagles are getting asked a lot of questions about the Dallas Cowboys. Approaching this game, what would be more comfortable for you? Is it the Philadelphia Eagles in the first half coming out, handling their business? Because the reason I ask that is I don't really think anybody wants to be holding that ticket of -9 when it's a, let's just say, a 15-point game in the fourth quarter, and the Eagles go, hey, Jalen, I know you could probably keep this football right here and run around the end for 15 yards and a first down. We don't need that. It's cold weather. You took a couple hits. You probably ran it already a dozen times in this game. We have a monster game next week. Hey, Miles Sanders, you're having a great game here in the fourth quarter. You hand it over to Boston Scott or Kenneth Gainwell. A.J. Brown, ooh, a little bit dinged up. You took a shot to your leg here. Sit this last fourth quarter out here. We technically don't need you at this point. Does anything creep into your mind? Because for me, it does. It shouldn't, because it's a little bit different, as I said, than the college football ranks. But we're not dealing with, Kevin, you just need the Eagles to win. The Eagles have to win by margin, which is going to be double digits to cash in that ticket. And I just get a little bit leery that maybe you say, you know what? I could see the Eagles being up 17-6 at the half, and then who knows what happens in the second half, but you get your cover and don't have to worry about, oh my goodness, in the fourth quarter, everybody's out of the game.
Yeah, I think the look-ahead nature is something that is hard to ignore when it feels like the most talked-about game heading into this week is Eagles-Cowboys next week. So I think it's a relevant point to at least address whether or not you're going to factor it in here. The Cowboys are also a road favorite this week, though by less, by 4 points. But when you look at the records, right, 10-3 to 5-8, like, ooh, this could be a runaway spot. But this is not a Minnesota Vikings, their fraud's not going to lay a big number. I think Minnesota might legitimately be catching points if they were in Jacksonville. But this just shows that the Jags have been a difficult book, I think, for the odds makers this season. Because they have moments where you go, man, this team is good. They might be a top seven team in the AFC. This team legitimately might be a team that's worthy of a playoff spot. And then they have games like they had against the Detroit Lions where it's like, what am I watching here? And then there's just other spots where it's like, hey, you got to cross the finish line. You got to win games. We can't just keep taking moral victories out of here. And by the way, they don't even usually cover in the moral victories. Their straight-up record is the same as their against-the-spread record here. So what are you doing with Dallas in the four in Jacksonville?
I think it's great that we have these games back-to-back because there's different feels for me. Do I think the Eagles might get tested by the Chicago Bears? They could, but I'm not having any fear factor here that the Eagles are going to go in and lose straight up to the Chicago Bears. I don't have that. Completely different sentiment here with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Dallas Cowboys, and also the same thing from a Cowboys perspective. They know how big that game is next week, but you still have to take care of your business. Like, it doesn't make any sense for the Dallas Cowboys to say, well, we really want to rise up for the Eagles game. Oh, we lost to Jacksonville, no big deal. Like, no. Your season trying to overtake the Philadelphia Eagles in the division is probably over because it's not going to matter next week. Even if you do beat the Eagles, you're still going to be a few games back with only a few to go. That's not going to work out. But having said that, you're right. Jekyll and Hyde here for those Jacksonville Jaguars. If you just take a look at, Kevin, the last five games, it tells you that. You beat the Vegas Raiders. You lost to Kansas City in Kansas City. No shame in that game. Then you bounce back with a nice victory over the Baltimore Ravens, 28-27. You go on the road in no-show against the Lions, and then you say, hey, you know what? We're dead and buried here. You go on the road against Tennessee and absolutely wipe them off the field. If we're looking from Trevor Lawrence's perspective, we weren't sure if he was going to play last week. Played and played extremely well. So I'm expecting to get that same type of feel. But let's keep in mind, too, Tennessee does have a good defense, but it is banged up. That's a ferocious front seven that's coming after you for the Dallas Cowboys. I just hope that we're getting that good to above average Trevor Lawrence in this game. They have the talent to hang with the Cowboys, and I'm going to say it right now. I think Jacksonville's actually gone. I've said this for 2 weeks now already. I think Jacksonville's going to beat the Dallas Cowboys straight up in this one. I do.
If you look at the Jags this season, again, every cover has been a victory, but it's only happened back-to-back once this season, which was the Colts and the Chargers. In fact, it's the only time in Trevor Lawrence's career he's been able to win back-to-back games, though it's early. What's been the common denominator here has been being a home underdog. They've been a home dog three times this year. They've won all three of those football games. Colts early season against the Vegas Raiders and against the Baltimore Ravens. It's been a spot that's been good to Jacksonville. However, I will say Dak Prescott has been tremendous against teams underneath 500 when laying over a field goal. That's been a great spot to back Dak Prescott. I'm getting a little more comfortable in this game with this total at 48. I don't think the Jags defense is great. I think Dallas, when they can, runs and hides from teams. We saw that against the Colts, right? That 54-19 final. Not that this is going to be in that range, but when the Cowboys can pour it on, they attempt to pour it on. I look at this 48 here. I think both teams have juice on the offensive side of the ball. Micah Parsons talking a lot. He needs to worry about his own defense, as that group looks a little bit overrated compared to where they were earlier in the season. And I think you could see both of these teams have success here on Sunday. Getting to the final favorite on the road that I wanted to get to is Kansas City and Texans. Chiefs-Texans. The Chiefs are a 14-point favorite. The total is 49.5. Last week's game that the Kansas City Chiefs played is probably like the greatest example as to why you just don't really want to lay numbers with the Kansas City Chiefs. Almost routinely, without skipping a beat, if the Chiefs are laying a touchdown, you will catch me saying I expect them to win this game, and then I expect them to not cover this game. Because that is always true. Mahomes in his career, when he is a 7-point favorite on the road, is 8-0 straight up and 1-7 against the spread. I thought last week was the difference, because last week I loved what their offense was bringing to the table, and they scored 34 points. But because they never cover as a big favorite, the Broncos offense woke up, and partly because the Chiefs defense is pretty bad, not really of the level. And we saw that play out. So now you've got the worst team in football coming off of the best game they've played all season long, and I'm including their win and tie. That loss was the best game they've played all year long. Now catching 14 at home. Are you laying 14 with Kansas City here in Houston?
I don't think so, because what do we need out of Kansas City in this game? Is this another one of those where you just take Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City in the first half and say, I'll live with it? Because chances are, if it's tied, they're probably not going to end up covering that game as is. But look at the last three road games here for the Kansas City Chiefs at the Chargers here, 30-27 victory. Now, granted, the Chargers got more talent than Houston does, but still road game. Cincinnati more talent here than Houston? Absolutely. They lost that game 27-24. And even last week at Denver here, laying a pretty good number, 34-28, don't cover in that game, even being up 27-0 in the first half. It's one of those games where in the second half here, do they really need to run it up, or are they going to say, Kelsey, get to the bench here. A couple banged up wide receivers. Let's not stress this out. Patrick Mahomes handed off to Isaiah Pacheco throughout this entire day here, where we don't have to worry about anything else, because we're going to win the game. It doesn't matter if we win by margin. We just want to keep on stacking wins and wait for that game between Buffalo and Cincinnati to sort of decide our fate if we're going to get the number one overall seed. I don't want to lay that big number. Kansas City's going to win, but I'm not comfortable with that fourth quarter going, hey, backdoor touchdown, because we know the Houston Texans will play you tough in the second half regardless if they're down 21 points or more.
My big question going into this game, and maybe more important than anything, if you look at the Texans, it's like, is this a good pass defense? No. It's that no one ever throws on them because they don't need to. Mahomes is in an MVP race, and let's not pretend. I do not want to hear that Patrick Mahomes does not care about being the MVP. That's ridiculous. He's only won one of them, and I'm sure he wants to win another, and I feel like he probably thinks to himself, I should have won more. Is every time this team get in the five-yard line, are they throwing the football? Are they throwing the football late in this game? Is he going to have 250 passing yards at half? Because if he wants to, he can. Does he want to? Even then, they still might be up 28-0 at half and still fail to cover this game based on what we saw last week. Bowl season starts. Close that hour number one next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football action starts today. It's bowl season. Two games on the slate here. I'm excited to watch both of these games, because here's what's perfect about both of these games, no matter what that curmudgeon across from me is going to try and tell you, because he's going to end up agreeing. The start time, 11:30 a.m. UAB Miami of Ohio, 3 o'clock for Troy UTSA. This is perfect. Let's get us some day action. We'll transition into the night. No problem here. These games will be fun. Are you interested in either of these, or do you want me to just handle the rest of it here? I mean, what's your big-time breakdown, UAB, Miami of Ohio?
Yeah, now there's two things here. Like in three to four years when Kevin and I are maybe doing a show at 5 a.m. here on the network here, we're not going to be breaking down any bowls because it won't be bowl season anymore. Everybody's going to be in the playoff, but let's get that out of the equation. I love the fact that it's 11:30. You're talking about Miami, Ohio, and UAB, which most people won't care about. But when you turn on the TV with nothing to do at noon and a football game is on live, not even me, the biggest curmudgeon out there, is going to complain about that. Now, 45.5, do they cover minus 10.5? Who knows? But I got to tell you, the 3 o'clock game, though, Kevin, is actually very interesting with Troy and UTSA. Most people will look at that game and say, again, well, Miami, Ohio, UAB, Troy, UTSA, what terrible games here. Not the case. Both of these teams, Kevin, coming in on 10-game win streaks here.
Yes.
Actually, like UTSA, they were a dog early in the week. Now they're the favorite, and I agree with that.
Yeah, it has flipped. Frank Harris is back. Troy with the third best cover percentage in all of college football this season. So Troy has been solid. I'll look at that 56.5. I think you can get some juice in that game. But I really like Avion Smith, who's going to start a quarterback for Miami of Ohio over his rushing prop. 59.5 is the number. This team's only played two real running quarterbacks this year, this team being UAB. Jaden Daniels over the century mark. Kadon Slater went for 79. Avion Smith has averaged 91.4 yards per game on the ground over his last five, with the only under of 59.5 being a game in which he finished with 55, averaging 15 rush attempts per game over that span. Expect Avion Smith to get after it on the ground at 11:30. World Cup starts hour two.